Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Diana Firstgott-Roth. She's a member of our Brain Trust, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. That's manhattan-institute.org, right? Is that .org? Is that right?
That's right. Yes, yeah. manhattan-institute.org.
I always forget. As many times as I've had you guys on, all of you guys, different ones on, somehow I always forget that. And then you're also a columnist for realclearmarkets.com. Any other websites you'd like to tell us about, Diana?
I'm also a columnist for the Examiner, the Washington Examiner, and the San Francisco Examiner.
All right.
I'm a columnist for TaxNet.
All right. So check that out. You'll see her byline in a lot of places. Diana Firstgott-Roth. Diana, recently the federal government, the antitrust division of the federal government, the Obama administration, ruled that AT&T could not acquire T-Mobile as because it would violate the antitrust principles. I'm not going to debate that. I don't know if they're right or not. I cast a very jaundiced eye at the antitrust division of law. Anyway, I think the marketplace is moving faster than the antitrust division can keep up with. But in the same week, it came to my attention that some very good, very long-standing health insurance companies were going out of business because they determined that they couldn't compete. They couldn't operate under the rules and the requirements of Obamacare. And so I'm wondering, what's the difference if the antitrust division is worried about how customers are going to be served if AT&T acquires T-Mobile? Why isn't the same administration worried that customers are not going to be as well served if these insurance companies go out of business and there's less competition and leaving more customers for the government's Obamacare? I mean, I see the connection there. What do you think?
Well, that's a great point, and I might steal it for a column one of these days because here what the government is doing is saying there's not going to be enough competition in telecommunications services, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T. We need that extra company to have the competition. But on the other hand, they are limiting the health care plan so that making it one size fits all to eliminate competition in the health insurance market.
Mm-hmm.
And the antitrust division of the Justice Department should take a strong look at what is happening with Obamacare.
That's right.
Because it seems like the government, by law, is allowed to do that, is allowed to take competition out in some areas. For example, with our highway construction, they're allowed to have project labor agreements that say that only unionized firms can compete on construction projects,
right,
25 million or more. That takes away the competition from the little guy.
Right.
But on the other hand, with T-Mobile and AT&T, they are saying there needs to be more competition.
So this is just more examples of the government picking winners and losers. And I'll tell you, this is one of the most dangerous things for a government to do, is to pick winners and losers, isn't it?
It really is. Japan tried that, and the Soviet Union tried that. And look where they are now. They're even worse state than we are.
I want you to give us a quick report on something you've been working on lately, and that is the impact of Obamacare on franchise owners. People who are franchisees, they are the operators of the business after they purchase franchises from the franchisor. If they have multiple institutions, tell us about that. I've got about a minute and a half.
Well, it's especially relevant because of the zero growth in jobs, and franchise business is one of the greatest source of jobs. And if you're a small business, if you're under 50 workers, you don't have to pay the $2,000 penalty per worker per year for Obamacare if you don't have the right kind of health insurance. And if you're a franchise, you're a collection of businesses. So one of your businesses, if it's under 50, you don't have to pay the penalty. But say you buy another business, and it's two separate businesses, maybe one Jiffy Lube and one McDonald's, you still have to pay the penalty if the number of workers you have is over 50.
What if I have three? What if I have three franchises, three McDonald's franchises, and it's all the same
three
company?
Three McDonald's franchises, yes, and they add up to more than 50 workers. Yeah. You have to pay the penalty, even if the guy across or just down the block who has a McDonald's who just owns one has fewer than 50, he does not have to pay the penalty.
Yeah.
So it's a disincentive for growth. The disincentive for franchise.
And yet, for some reason, President Obama scratches his head and wonders why small business owners aren't creating more jobs. It's pretty clear to me, Diana Furchgott-Roth, why this is happening. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure. We've enjoyed having you here.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Thanks. Diana Furchgott-Roth, ladies and gentlemen. She's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute and also RealClearMarkets.com, and as you heard her mention, lots of other places want her words of wisdom. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. It's Labor Day. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.